Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
This is the last sermon in this Christmas season, Advent Christmas. We've been talking about the King is coming, of course, anticipating the birth of Christ. Today we want to close with talking about the promise, or the promises. And we're going to read from Acts 1, verses 4 to 11, and jump right into, this is the passage where Jesus is about to ascend back to the Father, and the disciples are there. I want to hear his words. Basically, these are his last words to the disciples before he ascends to heaven. Hear the word of God from Acts 4, verse 1. Acts 1, verse 4. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, "Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or epochs, seasons, which the Father had fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth." And after he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? Just Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Shall we pray? Lord, thank you. Thank you for all the promises of your word. And Lord, we do thank you for the promise of your coming. I ask, O God, that you would stir within each of us, that 2023 would be a year of active anticipation, where we are prepared and looking for your return. We are working to be a witness to all the world. Hide me behind the cross that you might speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The memory verse, I've jumped to 2 Corinthians for that, so this would be a key verse to think about. 2 Corinthians 1:20, would you read that with me? "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us." 2 Corinthians 1:20. Who's the him? It's Jesus, right? It's Jesus Christ. It says, "And all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus." Promises. Well, what about promises? Promises, promises. We all make them. Maybe not, we don't say, "I promise," but we do make promises. And sometimes we even keep them. Amen. Isn't that good? But sometimes we don't. As human beings, because we are limited, we often feel the need to extra emphasize our promises. Like we say, a mafia, I swear on my mother's grave, you know, I promise, I swear on my mother, on my children, you know, something really graphic. Or maybe as a kid, I remember we used to say, "I promise, I hope to die, I stick a needle in my eye," I mean, something silly like that. Maybe I date myself. And I've seen a lot now with kids and grandparents, it's the pinky swear. You know, "Oh, I promise, pinky swear that we'll do that," you know. So maybe you've got your own. Sometimes as human beings, we can't keep our vows, our promises, because we're limited. We're finite. We don't control all the circumstances. Sometimes you make a promise, and then when it's time for the promise to come true, everything's changed, and there's no really way that you can keep that promise. But God is all-powerful. Amen? God is true. God always keeps his word. Hebrews 6, this is a beautiful passage, verses 13 and 14. It says, when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless, and multiplying I will multiply you. Isn't that something? God can't swear by somebody else or something else because he is. I am. He is it. And so he said, I will do it. Now think about that 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians passage. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. You know, and there are so many lists of promises. They're not just hundreds of promises. There are hundreds of lists of promises. If you're a list maker, you know, if you make too many lists, then you need to start making a list of where your lists are, you know, so you can keep track of your lists. My first big black Bible I got when I was first saved. It was a Thompson Chain Reference King James Version, and it was big, expensive leather. It's big. It's about that thick, and it has a big study section in the back. And I thought somewhere, I haven't found it now, but it used to have a list of all the promises of the coming of Jesus. And I thought there was like 300 listed. And so I looked through my old Bible, I couldn't find it. So I ended up just Googling it. And there were so many lists of promises. I think one I saw, there was like 354 promises, prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus fulfilled all of those in his first coming, and the ones he didn't fulfill, he will fulfill them in the second coming. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. So he is coming again. Now, as I think about the promises of God, I think of three that are kind of interrelated, and really without the one, the other one doesn't work. And those three are the promise that he said he would be with us always. Secondly, the promise that he said he would send the Holy Spirit. And third, the promise that he will return and receive us to himself. So I want you to think about those three and how they interrelate. First, look at the first one. Jesus promises to be with us always. Matthew 28:20b. This is the last phrase in the Gospel of Matthew. These would be Jesus' last words in the Gospel of Matthew. You know how important the last words are? You know, someone, you know, you're going somewhere and your parents or somebody say, okay, one more thing. Don't forget this. That's the thing you don't want to forget. Well, here Jesus, these are his last words in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Those are his last words. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, those last five verses, are called the Great Commission. And that's where Jesus gathered them together, and he said, all power and authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples, baptize and teach, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. All power has been given to me, and I am with you always. As you face 2023, remember that. All power and authority has been given to Jesus, and he will be with you through the end of the age, to the end of the age. You know, I think about that authority. I think about that power. I had this image when my wife had broken and dislocated her ankle. We did that at our son's house in Rockwood, and so we took her to Somerset Hospital, and they x-rayed her and tried to straighten out the twisted ankle. And it didn't work, so they gave her double doses of pain medicine, tried again, it still didn't work. And so I said, well, I already called the surgeon. He is waiting at Conemaugh. He happened to be on call, so he is there, and I'm going to go taking her to. And so I literally grabbed her out of the wheelchair. She had her hospital gown in, her backside hanging out, threw her in my car, and we drove to Conemaugh. Now, the funny people have told me since then, the medicine that they gave her, and they gave her a second dose, she could have died on the way to Conemaugh. There's no way they should have left you take her out. Well, I'm like, well, I just knew, I wasn't going to wait around for an ambulance. We're like going. And so we got to Conemaugh. I won't name the doctor, but he was an orthopedic surgeon. He was in charge, okay? And so they brought her in, and they put like a temporary half cast under her foot, you know, just to hold it in place. And they had, one of those elastic bandages around it. And he came in, he didn't like the way those were. He wanted the big ones, and he started spouting orders. And the nurse that was in there was like, ah! And he was doing everything he could do. My daughter, who's kind of a medical person, she was there. She was helping to roll up the pads. And I'm like sitting there like kind of getting giggly in the inside. I thought, this guy is in charge. He is like calling the shots. And they were jumping. And he was working on my wife's behalf. I thought, that's cool, you know? And I got the guy in charge, shouting orders, and he's taking care of my wife. Well, I want you to think about Jesus saying, all authority, because this guy didn't have all authority, because afterwards I kind of joked with the nurse. I'm like, wow, he was like kind of really into it. And he goes, yeah, and I wrote him up. And I'm telling him, I mean, he was like, I've already written a complaint, blah, blah, blah. And he was all upset, the nurse was. That was when the doctor wasn't there, you know, he was upset. But Jesus said, all authority has been given to me, and lo, I am with you always. Who's watching over me? Who's taking care of me? Whose promises am I claiming? Jesus. He's in charge, and he's watching over me. No matter what happens in life, Jesus has all authority. And he is for you. The promises of God, he promises to be with us always and forever. Hebrews 13:5, hear this. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Psalm 46 comes to mind. It says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. I don't have to fear what's going to happen in 2023. Don't have to worry about your finances. Don't have to worry about your health. You don't have to worry about relationships. God has it. Jesus knows what's coming. He's not going to be surprised by anything that happens. We can rest in him. Now, what's interesting about this promise to be with us always, he says to his disciples, I'll be with you always. And then what does he do? He ascends to heaven and leaves them. I'm like, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And the disciples are like standing there looking to heaven. And finally, an angel has to come up beside him and says, hey, what are you guys doing? Like, he said he would never leave us. There he went. They didn't say that. I'm adding that. Then what did the angel say? Well, this Jesus that went up is coming back in the same way. And so they said, oh, okay. So they went back to Jerusalem and started praying because that's what he told them to do. That's the second promise. Jesus promised to send his Holy Spirit. He didn't complete the first one to be with us always unless he sends the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, he just physically left. He's not there. He's not on the earth. But he said, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It actually was 10 days. They prayed for 10 days. John 14:16, Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may abide with you forever. How Jesus fulfills that promise to be with us forever in this life, at least, is by sending the Holy Spirit to live in us, to be with us. That's how he fulfills that promise. The Holy Spirit is God residing in every believer. Now, Jesus, when he was here, he was in flesh and blood. He was limited by human flesh. He could only be where he was. I mean, you could say, well, yeah, he could pass through doors. Yeah, well, then he's on the other side of the door, right? He's still only where he was. You know, when they tried to stone him one time, he passed through their midst and ended up somewhere else. But he was only there, you see? But in the Holy Spirit, he can be everywhere, in every believer. He gives us the gifts of the Spirit, supernatural, God-ordained, Spirit-filled gifts and abilities. He gives us the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Jesus, the heart and nature of Jesus, the life and character in us, the power and authority of Jesus is ours. He is everywhere in every believer. So as we look at 2023, Jesus is with us through the Holy Spirit. His presence is here for this life, to the end of the age. His power and authority is here. His purity is here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what Colossians describes to the Gentiles, the mystery of God, to make God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. He lives in us and among us. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:5 describes the Holy Spirit as a down payment of heaven's glory. It says, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us his Spirit as a guarantee. The word there for guarantee really is describing a down payment. A guarantee is different. I mean, you could like give somebody a piece of paper and say, this is a guarantee, or you can give them your coat and say, here, you, or have my, you ever rented something and they need your driver's license? Like if you're renting a go-kart or a boat, we'll keep your driver's license here till you bring the boat back. Like, really? Well, that's kind of like your guarantee. But this isn't what he's talking about here when he talks about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a down payment. Down payment is part of what you're going to get. So if you think about what heaven is going to be like, what the glories of eternity will be like, the Holy Spirit and the fullness of God in your life, the experience of God as via the Holy Spirit in your life is just a down payment of what is coming. What is coming. All the glories that come down, if they're just for this world, if it's just for this season, then there's something missing. I mean, I do think the Christian life is the best way to live. Amen? I mean, I have been blessed. I have enjoyed life. There's nothing better than being a Christian. Having a sweet communion with the Lord, the abiding presence of his Spirit living in you, his laws written in your heart. I mean, there's nothing better. But if it just lasts for this life, it ain't good enough for me. Right? How does he fulfill the second coming? The down payment is not worth much if you don't receive the full payment. One time I sold a car. It was a Pontiac 6000, if you remember those. Somebody in our area used to use them for taxis. And so I had one for sale, and they wanted it. So I sold it to them. Well, they didn't have the money to pay for it. They said, tell you what, we'll pay you so much down and so much a month. Well, I'm like, I desperately wanted rid of the car. So I did. I said, okay, that's fine. Well, then guess what? They didn't pay me. So I had to keep going back and hounding them for the full payment. You know what I mean? And finally they did. They gave me a whole stack of checks dated in advance. That was kind of sad. If I don't get the full payment of heaven and the glories of eternity with God, Christian life is not worth it. The next promise, he says, he promises to come again. John 14, he says, for I go to prepare a place for you, and if I prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If Jesus isn't risen from the dead, if Jesus isn't ascended to heaven, if Jesus hasn't sent the Holy Spirit, if Jesus doesn't come back, then Christianity is a farce. Isn't worth it. Paul writes, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. If we have hope in Christ only in this life. We have hope in Christ in this life. But the great thing about it is Jesus promises to come again. He promises to make everything right. And he promised to give us eternity, reigning as kings with him forever. That makes it all worthwhile. Amen. All the struggles of this world will be taken care of in the next life. You know, there was a study done. I think they interviewed clergy, and the question was, if we can prove we found Jesus' bones, we can prove that the resurrection is a lie, would you still preach the gospel? Now, it's funny, it's interesting. The ones that labeled themselves as liberal, when they declared on the form, They said, yeah, I would still preach the gospel because Christianity is a good deal. But the ones that were conservative that believed the scriptures, they all said, forget it. If it's not the truth, then I ain't preaching it, you know? I think Christianity is a great thing for this life. There's nothing like it. But the great thing is, it goes on for eternity. Amen? We're going to live forever with Jesus Christ. He is coming again. The second coming of Jesus is one of the most documented prophecies of the Old Testament and the New Testament in promises. Ready or not, believe it or not, Christ will return someday when we least expect him. Acts 1:11, what does he say? Men of Galilee, why are you looking up to the sky? This Jesus who ascended to heaven is coming back in the same way. That's a promise. As some of you know, you've heard me say, I was reading with Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, the one I get online. They also had a daily Bible reading where you'd read through the Bible in 1 year. And I don't always recommend that you should do that, but I did that this year. And so I just completed Zechariah and Malachi, which are the last two books in the Old Testament. And it's interesting, Zechariah 14, 3 and 4, says, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, and when he fights on a day, as when he fights on a day of battle, in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will split in the middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half the mountains will go to the north and the other half will go to the south. Now, I want you to put that together with what the angel said. What did the angel say? He's coming back in the same way. And then Zechariah says, he will come back on the Mount of Olives, and an earthquake will happen in Jerusalem. If you've been to the Holy Land, there is a chapel on the Mount of Olives. And in the chapel, there's a rock, and there's an imprint that looks like a foot print on that rock. And they claim that's the very rock where Jesus lit from to ascend back to heaven. It might be true because there's a church built there. Everything that's true in Israel, there's a church built there, it seems like. But I remember when I was there, I wasn't so impressed with the rock because you kind of had to tilt your head to see the footprint. But just standing there thinking, this could be the day. This could be the day. What about today? 2023 could be the year. I got an email from Sue Ringer. Some of you have met her. She's a little Korean Christian, loves Jesus, lives in Shamokin Dam. Hi, Sue, if you're listening. She sent me a happy New Year's thing yesterday, last night. And she said to one of these glorious things, and I wrote back, maybe this year is the year Jesus comes back. Maybe 2023 would be the year of promise. And she wrote back to me, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Are you ready for him to come? Are you expecting him to come? He fulfills the promise to be with us for all eternity, not by just giving us the down payment, but by giving us the whole deal. The glories of heaven. It says, when we see him, we will be like him. We will be transformed. All the pain, all the suffering, all the heartache of this world will be taken care of. Revelation 19, 20, 21, 22 describes his return in detail. He will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will come as the perfect judge. He will come and destroy the enemies of God. Ready or not, believe it or not, God has and will keep every one of his promises to you. He's coming again. 2 Peter 3 describes the issue. It says, know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts. You know, I read that. It's interesting reading these minor prophets and completing the reading of the book of Revelation. Every curse and every criticism, judgment, always includes something about sexual immorality. Every one of them. And I look at my culture, I look at American culture, and my heart aches. Heart aches. Look even here. Know this, and in the last days mockers will come following their own lusts. and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the creation, ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning. For when they maintain this, they escape to notice that, and I want you to hear this, by the word of God, the heavens exist. When God says, let there be light, there is light. God says, well, let something happen, that happens. Isaiah, it says, his word always comes back. When the Lord says something, it happens. When he makes a promise, it will happen. He goes on and says, and by his word, the present heavens and earth will be reserved for fire. By the word of God, he created it. By the word of God, he will change it and make it all new. But he says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Not wishing any should perish. We should be so aware of the second coming of Christ that every conversation we want to make sure that somebody, they know Jesus. I know you can't just hit everybody you see with a Bible. Or we shouldn't maybe get a Bible, a bat, and write the scriptures on real small letters, you know. You could beat them with it. No, you can't do that, right? But every opportunity, you need to be listening to the Holy Spirit's leadership. You need to be looking for opportunities to share the gospel. The Lord is coming back. And many, many people are not ready. Ready or not, believe it or not, God will keep his promises. He will return. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. What promises are you claiming for this year? Maybe they're the same ones you claimed last year. I got some promises that I'm still claiming from back in 2010. Guess what? The Lord has all eternity to fulfill his promise. And I'm going to trust him for that. Keep claiming the promises of God. Do you have a promise you're thinking about right now? You're praying about? You're believing God for? And the next question is, are you ready for the return of Christ? Is your house in order? And I don't just mean your home and your family, but I mean, is your house, are you in order? Are you right with God? He has done everything he can to reach out to you. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. He is waiting with open arms. Come. Are you ready? Jesus is coming for you. He had came for you. He went to the cross for you. He ascended to heaven. He sent his Holy Spirit for you that he might dwell with you. And he is coming back for you if you will trust him. I'm going to pray. And as we pray, I want you just to ask yourself, what promise am I leaning into for this year? Is there something lacking in my life, in my home, in my relationships? Let us pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the promises of God. Everyone, Lord. And I pray even now, Lord, as we ask your Holy Spirit to examine our lives, to look into our hearts. If there is some wicked way in us, I pray, Lord, that you would reveal it. There is some promise that would apply to my relationships, my job, my family, my habits, my private life, my public life. I pray even now, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, you would show us the way. Lighten our path. All the promises are in you, Jesus. They are all yes. We claim them today in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.